Ladies, please. Tvam yourself, tu then, Abhijanabha of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose navel is like a lotus flower, Angri Fi Saroja Lotus, Kosha Whole, Durga the Stronghold. Ashritaha, taken shelter of. Nirajita, conquered. Shatsapatnaha, the six enemies, the mind and five senses. Bhungshva, enjoy. Iha, in this material world. Bhogan, enjoyable things. Purusha, by the Supreme Person, Atidishtan, extraordinarily ordered, Vimukta, liberated, Sangaha, from material association, Prakritim, constitutional position, Bhajasva, enjoy. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord Brahma continued, my dear Priyavrata, seek shelter inside the opening in the lotus of the feet of the Lord, whose navel is also like a lotus. Thus conquer the six sense organs, the mind and the knowledge acquiring senses. Accept material enjoyment because the Lord extraordinarily has ordered you to do so. You will thus always be liberated from material association and be able to carry out the Lord's orders in your constitutional position. Purport. There are three kinds of men within this material world. Those who are trying to enjoy the senses to the utmost are called karmis. Above them are jnanis who try to conquer the urges of the senses. And above them are the yogis who have already conquered the senses. None of them, however, are situated in a transcendental position. Only devotees who belong to none of the above-mentioned groups are transcendental. As explained in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, text 26, Mamcha yoga bhicharena bhakti yogena sevate Sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Lord Brahma herein advises Priyavrata to remain transcendental in the fortress, not of family life, but of the lotus feet of the Lord. Abhijanabha Angri Saroja. When a bumblebee enters the opening of a lotus flower and drinks its honey, it is fully protected by the petals of the lotus. The bee is undisturbed by the sunshine and other external influences. Similarly, one who always seeks shelter at the lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead is protected from all dangers. It is therefore said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Text 58, Samasritaye pada pallava plavam mahat padam punya yasho murare bhavambudir vatsa param padam 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 yat vipadam natesham. For one who has taken the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, everything becomes easier. Indeed, even crossing the great ocean of nations, bhavam buddhi, is like crossing the hoof print created by a calf, vatsapadam. For such a devotee, there is no question of remaining in a place where every step is dangerous. Our actual duty is to carry out the supreme order of the personality of Godhead. If we are fixed in our determination to carry out the supreme order of the Lord, we are always secure, regardless of where we are situated, whether in hell or in heaven. Herein the words prakritim bhajasva are very significant. Prakritim refers to one's constitutional position. Every living entity has the constitutional position of being an eternal servant of God. Therefore, Lord Brahma advised Priyavrata, be situated in your original position as an eternal servant of the Lord. If you carry out his orders, you will never fall, even in the midst of material enjoyment. Material enjoyment achieved by dint of one's fruitive activities differs from material enjoyment given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A devotee sometimes appears to be in a very opulent position, but he accepts that position to follow the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, a devotee is never affected by material influences. The devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement are preaching all over the world in accordance with the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They have to meet many karmis, but by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are unaffected by material influences. He has blessed them, as described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela 7, verse 129, Kabuna badhibe tomhara vishaya taranga punarapi e thane pabe mora sanga. A sincere devotee who engages in the service of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by preaching his cult all over the world will never be affected by vishaya taranga, material influences. On the contrary, in due course of time, he will return to the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and will thus have perpetual association with him. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vansha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Up until now was Lord Brahma's, I guess, build up for the purpose of why he had appeared. And this verse is the instruction, the very specific instruction given to Maharaj Priyavrata. The specific instruction is, it's not about whether or not you should be in the grahastha ashram or you should be in brahmachari ashram. But the need is that you have this order by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has very specifically instructed you with a service. So try your best to situate yourself in the mode of service, in your constitutional position, and carry out whatever order comes from the Lord. That's the crux of, that is the instruction that Lord Brahma came to give Maharaj Priyavrata. Prior to this, Maharaj Priyavrata, who is situated in deep meditation up in the Gandhamadana mountains for thousands of years, did not want to change his position, did not want to disturb, because everything was going very well for him. He was perfectly situated, deep in meditation, and like any of us, we don't want to change if something is going well. Like we say, why fix something if it's not broken? Why change? If everything is all right, why change something? And we've discussed that the Supreme Lord, He wants to take us from the position where we might become attached to the comfort that everything is going well, and bring us to a position that urges us or forces us to take shelter. Otherwise, what the tendency is, the risk is, we take shelter of the comfortable position itself. We take shelter of, everything is going well, I like this. But our real position is to take shelter of Krishna. So a difficult circumstance sometimes is better than a comfortable position if that difficult circumstance impels us to call out to Krishna. Krishna is not interested whether my devotee is comfortable or uncomfortable. Krishna's interest is whether my devotee is calling out to me, whether my devotee is taking shelter of me. That's all he's interested in. For some persons, a comfortable position is good to call out to Krishna. Otherwise, the mind is too disturbed by trying to figure out the uncomfortable situation. And for some persons, in an uncomfortable situation, they can easily call out to Krishna. The comfortable situations, Queen Kunti says, Janmaishwarya Shuta Shri Edaman of Madhapuman. The shelter of a great or good family lineage, the shelter of education, the shelter of wealth or money, the shelter of one's own bodily beauty. She says, when one is proud about these things, meaning one takes shelter of these things, naivarhati abhidatum vai. One cannot feelingly call out to Krishna. These are obstacles. So she says, vipada santuta sashvat tatta tatra jagat kuro. My dear Krishna, who is the eternal, original spiritual master, please let difficulties come upon us again and again. Because when the difficulties are there, we are able to easily call out to you. We can get your association. So it is not good situation or bad situation. It is not comfortable situation or uncomfortable situation. The operating principle is, are we seeking out the mercy of Krishna? Feelingly seeking out, my dear Krishna, without your mercy, I cannot do anything. Please give me your mercy. Please make me fit to receive your mercy. Like that. The one who is seeking that shelter, that person is better situated than anyone else. And Lord Brahma is saying that this is not dependent on ashram system. The ashrams can help, but they are independent of the ashram. So he convinced him that I'm asking you to enter grahastha situation, and yes, there is a risk, there is danger. Shat sapatnaha. There are six co-wives, or in this particular translation, Prabhupada calls them six enemies. You may be with these enemies, they may be following you, but be situated in the fortress. So generally, grihastha ashram is described as a fortress situation. It's one of two. It's called either fortress situation or a blind well situation. Griham andhukupa. It depends on what one does within a married arrangement. If marriage happens or is taking on just for the purpose of sense gratification, then it is called andhukupa, dark well, blind well. But if it is for enhancing one's Krishna consciousness, if it is a partnership where each member is helping each other become better servants of Krishna, then it is called the fortress model. So who decides whether it is fortress or deep dark well? It's decided by the members of the household, primarily the husband. If the husband is in the deep dark consciousness, dark well consciousness, the whole family joins, follows. And if the husband is situated properly in Krishna consciousness, the whole family becomes elevated. And to be able to, I guess, lead the entire family, the husband has to be a very dedicated servant of one's guru. Prahlad Maharaj offers this wonderful prayer, Vipra Dvishad Guna Yutat Aravinda Nabha Padaravinda Vimukha Svapacham Varishtam Manyeta Darpita Mano Vachane Hitartha Pranam Punati Sukulam Natubhurimanaha. Fantastic verse. Very much connected to this verse. Here the phrase is Abja Nabha Saroja Padam. The shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose navel is like a lotus. And in the Prahlad Maharaj's verse, he speaks the other way around. He says, Viprat Dvishat Gunayutat. A Brahmana may be endowed with the fantastic 12 qualities. And the 12 qualities are listed by Sanat Kumara in that purport. Sense controlled, mind controlled, simple, you know, the whole list of 12 qualities, attributes of a Brahmana. One may be like that. One may be fully endowed with these 12 qualities. But he says, Padaravinda Vimukha. If one is, Vimukha means turned away. If one has turned away one's attention from the lotus feet of the Lord, he says, Svapacham Varishtam. He's no, even a dog eater is better than him. Because a person who may be born in a dog eater's family, if he has dedicated his, and he gives that list, Manye Tadarpita, I believe, the one who has dedicated his mana, mind, Vachana is words, Ihita, one's activities, Artha, all of one's wealth, and Pranam, one's life altogether. Such a person, Punati, he can purify Sokulam, he can purify his entire family. Natu Bhurimanaha, not one who falsely thinks, I am great. Bhurimana means thinking I am very great. So just by being endowed by some qualities is not one's greatness. That greatness, he says, is useless. The real greatness is how one is situated as a servant of Krishna in whatever circumstances, services that one is doing. So Maharaj Priyavrata's, all of his concerns are being completely addressed. All of his concerns are being completely what's called allayed. removing his concerns by telling him that as long as you're situated as a servant of Krishna, in that consciousness, we call it the mood of service. As long as you're situated in the humble mood of service, it does not matter whatever circumstance will come, you'll be protected. And the analogy is that of a bumblebee. And he says the Abja Nabangri Saroja Kosha. Kosha means the world or the hole and from where the bumblebee takes the honey. Says as long as you're in that mode of service, taking the essence or always situated as a servant of Krishna, then you're protected. Just like the petals of the lotus always protect the bumblebee from sunshine or the wind blowing him away. In Prahlad Maharaj's prayers as well, there is another example given. It said that when a river has a very strong current, that river's currents are so strong that it can take away or wash away even a big elephant who's very heavy. Yet, very small fish who in comparison or by strength are minuscule compared to the strength of an elephant, the fish can very easily swim upstream. And that is because he says that the small fish, unlike the elephant, have completely taken shelter of the river. So our tininess or big has got no value unless it is taken shelter or it is within the realm of shelter of Krishna. So two things happen. And those two verses are described here. One, for a person who's sheltered, one who seeks shelter. By the way, we spoke this the other day. Between the guru and the disciple, the guru's duty is to give shelter. No doubt, but that's what the guru is meant to do. But the real responsibility of shelter lies with the disciple, not with the guru. Meaning, it's the disciple who must actively pursue to position himself in that sheltered place. Because the guru by nature is always shelter giving. It's the disciple who by nature is always, shelter averse. Because shelter averse, because it curbs the idea of freedom. Oh, now I should be directed by my guru's instruction. I like those days when I was free and I could do whatever I want. Gone are the days of freedom, the summer of 69. I could do whatever I like. Because in 1970 I met the devotee Srila Prabhupada. And I had to surrender to Krishna, I had to surrender to Guru. So the responsibility, when we are feeling unsheltered, the first order of business is that we move towards the position of shelter. It's not like my Guru is not giving me shelter. Oh Krishna, why are you not giving me shelter? Why am I not in the sheltered position? So this verse, Mam chayo avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate. Krishna is describing that a person who is unalloyed, avyabhichari. Vyabhichari actually means polluted. Generally, the word of vyabhicharini is a way of saying or calling a prostitute. Vyabhicharini, meaning the opposite of sati or chaste. Vyabhicharini means one who's not chaste. One whose loyalties are easily saleable. Whoever pays, they get my loyalty. Who is the highest bidder? Even if not highest, higher bidder is all right. One who bids better than others is avyabhicharini. So Krishna describes avyabhicharini means one who doesn't get distracted by higher bidders. The higher bidders are the senses and the mind, and they bid. Hear this, you'll enjoy more. See that, you'll enjoy more. Taste this, you'll enjoy more. Oh, these ideas, you'll enjoy more. And so we say, no bidding, please. I am completely Krishna's. I want to be completely Krishna's. This is avyabhicharini bhakti. Such a person, Krishna says, samatityayetan. Samatityayetan means completely beyond sagunan, the three modes of material nature. And for a person who's situated like that, Prabhupada describes that everything becomes easy. All the difficulties also become easy to traverse. Samashritaye padapallava plavam. One who has taken completely the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, mahatpadam, great situation, mahatpadam. These Krishna's lotus feet are the greatest shelter. Bhavambudir vatsapadam. Bhava ambudi. Bhava means, in Sanskrit, bhava means to come about, to be. And bhava means the cycle of repeated birth and death. So Lord Shiva is called bhava sometimes, because he makes the living entities come back into this world again and again. And the material energy, Durga Devi, is called Bhavani, the consort of Lord Bhava. So Bhava Ambudi is the ocean of material existence. How big is the ocean of material existence? Very big. So big that we can only say very, or just keep repeating very many times, and still it'll be small. For us, Lake Michigan itself is like, wow, really very big. Especially on stormy nights, the waves are huge. We think, wow, such big waves. We haven't seen really big waves in the ocean, but we've experienced it life after life. Bhavambudhi. That massive, insurmountable ocean, all that water, becomes so small, vatsapadam, as if water that's contained in the hoof print of a calf. How easy or difficult is it to cross over water that's a little puddle? We don't even notice. So a devotee who's just focused on his service attitude can cross over any difficult condition, any difficult situation, however big it might seem, very easily, almost as if he did not notice it. Bhavam budhir vatsapadam parampadam. And he easily achieves the highest goal, parampadam. Yat vipadam natesham. And it's not like the material world has one big wave. He says, yat vipadam natesham, padam padam, that there are dangers at every step. Everything, every situation of our life, there is a constant danger. What's the constant danger? That we might become distracted from Krishna consciousness. Because we are followed by Shat Sapatna, the six wives. And they're always seeking attention. And so that's the danger. It's not outside there. There can be danger right inside here. if one is followed by or guided by Shatsapatna, there can be danger right here. So it's not here or there. The instruction is not this situation or that situation, but be situated wherever you are and strongly engage in hearing and chanting. Because by hearing and chanting, we become situated in our constitutional nature. It's not like I have to say, oh, I have to be a servant. I have to be a servant. That's nice. But the nature of a servant won't come just because mentally I adjusted myself to think I'm a servant of Krishna. It comes as a progressive development of consciousness. And that progressive development of consciousness is only possible by Shravanam, Kirtanam and Smaranam. These are the only three things that actually help. And the other six, they allow us to exhibit that progressive development of consciousness. But it's the Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. These three things, they actually nurture our consciousness. It's not like yesterday I forgot I was a servant, today I'm like a completely sheltered servant of Krishna. It doesn't work like that. It's not a binary switch. Although consciousness is binary in the sense that it switches from one state to another state, but for development of consciousness, it has to be every day nurtured, bit by bit, bit by bit. So, this verse has a corollary meaning, where by dint of Prabhupada's writing, there's another meaning. Just as the big ocean becomes a little bit of water that we hardly notice, for a person who's not sheltered at Krishna's lotus feet, the little water puddle that they face looks like a big ocean to them. There's a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita that one who has Lord Chaitanya's mercy, the impossible becomes possible. And for one who doesn't have that mercy or cannot take that mercy, even the possible becomes impossible. It's not so for persons who are not sheltered by Krishna, for them, even the daily things that we don't even notice, they become so difficult to meet every day. There's a whole list of things we can come up with which seem small to a devotee, but to one who's not a devotee, they are so big. They're so difficult to overcome. Because anytime we have difficulties, the devotees, we get advice. First thing, do some hearing and chanting and all the problems will go away. And it's true, all problems go away. But you tell a person, Prabhupada starts the purport with karmi, jnani and yogi, you tell them do some hearing and chanting and they can't. Even if they do hearing and chanting, there's so much anxiety ridden, Hare Krishna. Cannot take shelter. And one who cannot take shelter always feels it very difficult to meet a situation and to transcend the situation, any situation. So there is a blessing that one who tries to be a servant or one who is acting from the mood of service under all circumstances, such a person will eternally get Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association. That one can feel the empowerment by Lord Chaitanya, his presence in all situations. And one should seek that. One should actively seek that situation. Because there is one way of training that we have. There is a situation and we jump to meet it. It's called material consciousness. Siddoham balavanapi. I am perfect. I know how to take care of something. I have material intelligence that is telling me how to counteract my problems. But that's not our approach. A devotee's approach is never go straight, meet the difficulty. A devotee's approach is also not to run away from the difficulty. A devotee's approach is to seek Krishna's shelter and meet the situation in a sheltered position. So, those are some thoughts from this verse. This is an instruction given, and now he is to carry out this instruction. So the convincing is not take up grahasthashram. The convincing was continue your mode of service in that situation. Ashwari's hand went up first, so if you don't mind.
Thanks. Thank you so much for bringing out the essence of the importance of being in a sheltered position. Two things, a question and a comment, if you don't mind. The comment was, because Srila Prabhupada specifically mentioned Lord Chaitanya at the end here, which was interesting, that in response, I suppose, to probably the concern of some of his disciples, Srila Prabhupada would say, we're so fortunate in this age of Kali because there's so much opportunity for serving Lord Chaitanya. So even though we have difficult situation internally and externally, there's such opportunity to take shelter of Lord Chaitanya, to try to serve his movement. And question was, for instance, yesterday, I think it was, I met a guy on book distribution, and for some reason he talked to us, I don't know, and he said, we asked, what do you like to read? He said, I love to read the Bible. I said, that's fantastic. What is it that you like about the Bible? He said, I love that Jesus came and he died for me, and I don't have to worry about what the heck happens to me. If the plane crashes, if anything, you know, doesn't matter. I'm happy. Sounds like sheltered position. So what are all the components that we actually need to monitor to understand, are we actually sheltered by Krishna, or is it just some, you know, conception that makes us feel safe, but it's not actually Krishna's shelter?
There are six aspects for feeling sheltered, or a sheltered person lives his life by these six principles: dainya, abject humility, accepting all those things favorable for one's execution of Krishna consciousness, rejecting things that are not favorable, feeling the Lord as feeling that the Lord is one's only protector and maintainer. And there's sixth one. Atmanivedana. Thank you. Dedicating one's life. Yesterday I used the phrase mind, body and words. Dedicating one's life in service of Krishna, in this case Jesus. So if a person lives like that, then yes, one is sheltered. Otherwise one is, it's a mental idea. Jesus died for me on the cross, I can do anything. Poor Jesus will be on the cross eternally. Thanks to me, you know, something must be done. So what am I doing? Like there's a person who met a devotee and just had this conversation. You know, I like Krishna because Krishna has done this for me, Krishna has done that for me throughout my childhood. You know, Krishna did this, protected for me, went to the whole list throughout his life, how Krishna did all the things for him. And the devotee asked a very simple question. What have you done for Krishna? Did nothing. That's not sheltered. That is like a child who just takes and takes and takes and takes. This is reciprocal. Shelter means one is giving back to Krishna. Most importantly, one is giving oneself to that sheltered condition. And do whatever comes from it, once, like Prahlad Maharaj says, Mano vachana ihita artha prana. Everything's been dedicated for Krishna. That's sheltered position. Generally, we think sheltered position means I have a difficulty, Krishna, please protect me. That's okay, that's a good start. That's a good start. But here Prabhupada ends the purport with, the followers of Lord Chaitanya, they go out. They go out and they have to meet so many people. So sheltered position is not extricating oneself from all these difficult conditions, but being wherever one is. And Jai Jagannath Prabhu.
Sometimes we hear it's just about being in a sheltered position, so it's not the external situation. And sometimes we hear, because we're not actually in a sheltered position, then you should situate yourself in this way, and for the further development of your consciousness in a sheltered position. So then, and sometimes you hear this and sometimes you hear that. And so how does one understand, because we're in the process of cultivating
right.
Krishna consciousness.
Generally, it's better to separate consciousness from activity per se, in this sense. That our development is not just the refinement of our activity. The anushilana that Rupa Goswami talks about is not just that we repeat activities like the previous acharyas. Because we are very good imitators. In this one sense, we might doubt whether Darwin's theory is true. Monkeys are perfect imitators. So in that sense, we wonder, maybe he was right. Imitation we can do perfectly well. But what we cannot imitate is consciousness. So the anushilana is the cultivation of the consciousness behind our activities. So in one sense, regardless of consciousness, it may be this situation or that situation. Once in a while, because by nature, we are already bahirmukha. Right? We are starting from bahirmukha condition towards becoming purified and looking at Krishna. Because we are bahirmukha, sometimes a little adjustment in the externalities just helps the conditioned soul. But that should not be taken as the complete solution. That is just like a little, nudge or push or something to just give us a little traction to go further. The adjustment of externalities. So sometimes it may be there. But in and of itself, adjustment of externalities will not develop consciousness. Like 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that's the very first 2-3 verses, Prabhupada says, just by taking sannyas position, you change that position, take sannyas, does not mean that one will be a good sannyasi. One has to cultivate proper detachment to take sannyas. So external circumstances facilitate the development of consciousness, but just external circumstances are not the cause for betterment of consciousness. In math, we use the phrase necessary but not sufficient. Something may be necessary, certain circumstances. For example, a clean room, a clean body, clean japa bag. These things are nice. They facilitate the mode of goodness. But one can have a clean room, clean japa bag, but terribly dirty consciousness is possible. So these are facilitators, not the cause of. Is that right? So, of course, you know the answer. You're giving me some service to do. So one should consider changes of circumstance, but one should not rely that because the circumstance changed that my consciousness will change. The individual effort has to be at improving the consciousness on by dint of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. That's what changes, transforms the consciousness. External situations may facilitate that. Yeah, Vaibhav Prabhu. In front of you.
Prabhu, you were saying that the material opulences or the material facilities which one gets in Grahastha Ashram, they may be because of their fruitive activities, or it could be because of they are given by Krishna for that devotee. So how do we know that the material facilities or opulences we get are because of my fruitive activities, or they are like given by Krishna?
Well, can I modify your question a little bit? Just because it is given by Krishna doesn't make it transcendental. It is transcendental only to the extent that it is given. But how we use it can make it material. Krishna can give us a very cultured wife, but if we don't use that facility, then it's a material arrangement for us, or a husband. So it's not just because Krishna gave the material circumstance also. So it's not because Krishna gave that something is transcendental or not. It is how we utilize something in Krishna's service, make something transcendental or not. So that's the first part. The second is, or in line of this, is what does one do with one's time, energy, wealth, activities, mind in that arrangement decides whether it is material or not. Okay? So with the mind, let's say, is the person utilizing his grahastha situation for considering how to be a little tiny part in the expansion of Krishna consciousness? Is one's mind desires along the lines of improving one's consciousness, or is the desires around enjoyment? This nobody has to tell us. We can see inside and we know. Right? Activities. What are the activities that one is doing within one's household? What is it? What does it look like? Is Krishna even there? Usually Krishna is there on the wall. But where else is he? Maybe on the altar. But after that, is he in the activities? Is he the center of one's activities? Is he the center of one's consciousness, etc.? One's wealth. How is one utilizing one's wealth? We just ended shopping season. What was the shopping all done for, or for whom? Was it Krishna-centered? What was the wealth? What is the wealth collected for? What's the purpose? Is one's wealth, that may be in the form of liquid, it's called liquid asset, money, or immovable assets like car and house, how are they used? One's words, the kinds of interactions, the kind of speech, the kind of exchanges in the household, What is the quality of those? These things will decide whether it is Krishna conscious or not. Is that right? Does that answer your question? Otherwise, bhurimana, one just thinks, I'm great, I have all these things with me. Yes, Pramod Prabhu.
We relate faith and shelter. Is it like if I have faith, I can take the shelter, or if I take shelter, I develop the faith in Krishna and Guru? Or is it like same?
Well, we just read a verse recently during the Christmas retreat that they feed each other. The specific verse was from Brihad Bhagavatamrita that at the state of prema and humility, dainya, they feed each other. So one cannot take shelter of Krishna if one doesn't have sufficient faith. And as one takes shelter of Krishna, one's faith increases. The first step is Adav Shraddha. It's the first step. Adav Shraddha is the slightest consideration. Oh, it'd be nice to ask a devotee what to do. That Adav Shraddha doesn't manifest fully, or it doesn't grow unless there is the influence of the mode of goodness. Because in the mode of passion, there is faith. But that passion will, in the mode of ignorance, the mode of ignorance will tell us, take shelter in something really degrading. In the mode of passion, the passion will tell us, you have faith? Go, place it in some fellow. Buy your book from Barnes & Noble and find out The Idiot's Guide to Shelter Taking. And read from there how to take shelter. It's the Idiot's series. In the mode of goodness, he will say, take shelter of something higher, higher than you. And it has certain characteristics of pristine, cleanliness, clean, you know, like that. Then the shelter can be nurtured, the faith can be nurtured. Sorry. Therefore it is said, Adav Shraddha, immediately the next stage is Sadhu Sangha. Without Sadhu Sangha, that Adav Shraddha is Anta Shraddha, finished. It won't grow. It won't purify. It's not that we have small faith and faith becomes large. We already have a lot of faith. Only a small tinge of it is towards the devotees. But Sadhu Sangha will purify the rest of it to completeness. Okay. Oh. Online question.
From Carlos. Our improvement comes from within. So
our improvement comes from within.
So shouldn't we take external circumstances as superficial, material, almost irrelevant aspects in our life and in our process of spiritual growth?
That statement is true for a Paramahamsa, not for a Paramakamsa. Because we start from a very conditioned state. We cannot ignore external circumstances like that. If we become artificially renounced like that, then what will happen is, after some time, we will take shelter of exactly the same things that we turned away from because of improper purification of heart. So, nice try, Carlos Prabhu. No, but that's, yes, in the eventuality, external circumstances don't matter. Avanti Brahmana, it didn't matter. People were urinating in his begging bowl, passing air on his face, throwing stones at him. He was not disturbed. I mean, I don't know how what that consciousness looks like. Yes, a rebuttal. Yeah, but
can you, dear Nityananda, extend the two terms, please?
Can I, dear Nityananda?
Extend the two terms, please.
The sure. Paramahamsa and the Paramakamsa? Paramakamsa is something I made up. So there's no explanation to it. Paramahamsa is a person who is always taking the essence of things in life and not disturbed by circumstances. It's described that a hamsa, a swan, if given water and milk mixed together, he can extract the milk and leave behind the water. Except in India, the swan would have to starve because there is no milk, it's only water. But generally, if there's water and milk mixed, it can extract the milk from the water. Like that. Whatever is the circumstance, they can extract Krishna consciousness from it. Not that the external circumstances are Krishna conscious, but he knows how to be perfectly Krishna conscious in any circumstance. Paramakamsa, means perfect circumstance, all devotional environment around, consciousness is somewhere else. That's called Paramakamsa. Mixes everything. Kamsa is actually bell metal. Yeah. So, yatha kamsana, kamsa, nena, diksha vidhanena. As bell metal is transformed into gold by the process of alchemy, Sanatana Goswami describes. So, from Paramakamsa to Paramahamsa, we need the shelter of Guru, meaning the proper process of sadhana bhakti. So we don't reject circumstances blindly or neglect or turn a blind eye, but we meet the circumstances by an adjustment of our consciousness. Okay, we're done. Oh, Jitendra Prabhu.
There used to be a section in the Back to Godhead magazine when Srila Prabhupada was here about how has Krishna consciousness enhanced your life. And it had, you know, a series of pictures and what their occupations were. And one fellow had a restaurant, and he says, since I came to Krishna consciousness, my business has increased manyfold. And then, you know, another person, my business, you know, I'm able to deal with things, you know, in a more serene way. And Prabhupada didn't like that. He said, you know, this isn't a reason for coming to Krishna consciousness so we can enhance our material life. So he stopped that part of the BTG. Then another thing I was reading in Dry Srila Prabhupada by Bhaktivikas Swami, the devotee asks, should we desire to go back to Godhead? Prabhupada says, no, you should desire to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. So I thought that was, you know, nice.
In this case, Maharaj Priyavrata is being told, don't shy away from the opulence that comes on account of Krishna's mercy. And Prabhupada describes in the end of the purport that there are categories of opulences. One opulence that comes according to karmic reaction. Another opulence that comes as facility from Krishna. Both are different. And if the facility is misused, it turns out karmic. So one shouldn't shy away because opulence came. One should always be protected or considering that is coming from Krishna, belongs to Krishna. In my case, I lost my job, so I don't know if my Krishna, something in my Krishna consciousness. So anyway, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. We'll meet downstairs in a couple of minutes for a short istogosti. Thank you.